Open your Bibles this evening to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. If you would like, as you would leave tonight, if you haven't already, I've copied a color copy back there on the table by the sound booth of the 7 days of creation. This is something I ran across in a book of charts that I have. You're welcome to that. It just gives you a brief summary of those 7 days, and I find it to be helpful. I like charts and things like that. They help me to understand things, and so you're welcome to that. If we run out, we'll make more, all right? And so please keep that in mind. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The origins of creation emanate from the power and being of God. Now, that may sound like an oversimplification, but creation and our understanding of creation, and as creation is presented to humanity today, boils down to asking us a very simple question: which God do you believe? If you believe in the Genesis account of the creation, then you believe in the God of Genesis. However, if you believe in a form other than God's creation, whether it's Big Bang, intelligent design, whether it's Darwinian evolution or whatever it might happen to be, you will find that you will believe the gods who advocate those positions. You say, well, it's a matter of science. No, it's not. It's a matter of faith. And one of the things that we have to understand is that creation is one of the most divisive issues of our day, especially the source of creation. It is a matter of understanding who it is that creates. Do I believe in God or do I believe in man? Each one of us will be forced at some point in time in our relationship with God and our relationship here on this earth to make that vital decision. We will have to discuss with our children and grandchildren. We'll have to listen to the media, and we'll have to make up our own mind who we believe created everything. You say, well, I don't want to make that decision. Well, you're going to get to, whether you want to or not, because it's a matter, again, of assigning to God his very being and creative power. The sources of origins determine many aspects in our lives. If we choose the God of creation, we will also accept his view of mankind, his view of the redemption of mankind, and we will work to understand the worldview that the Bible teaches us. However, if we reject divine and Genesis creation, we will find ourselves in a deep and almost unending struggle in trying to figure out which direction do I go, who do I believe, and what will be the determination of my belief. Because you see, there are many particular ideas about the origins of the world. There's only one view, though, presented in Scripture, and it's that view that we'll begin to look at tonight. I've spent a great deal of time trying to figure out how to preach this series, that I want to spend a lot of time debunking the other forms of creation. And I've decided that rather than doing that and spending a great deal of time going into great deals of discussion about them, I'll simply go through the Scriptures and let the Scriptures tell us what we ought to believe. I find that that's a whole lot simpler. Besides that, some of the things that I read in some of the intelligent design books by Michael Behe and others about microbiology, my degrees don't go that high. And understanding some of that was quite difficult for me when they started splitting all of those electrons and protons and neutrons, and I barely got out of general science class. So I've just decided the best thing to do is allow the Bible to teach us what it says about creation. First and foremost, in these two passages of Scripture, as we begin to look tonight, I want us to understand that the God of Genesis is the God who creates. Please simply take note that it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A very simple statement, but a very profound statement. It is one that Isaiah will expound upon in the 40th through the 45th chapters of the book of Isaiah. And David will spend a great deal of time talking about the creation of humanity in the 139th Psalm. The God that's here, the God of creation, is a Hebrew word that simply means God. By the way, just so that it rattle your foundations just a little bit, the word that's translated God here is plural. You say, we don't believe in a plural God. No, we don't. But we believe in a triune God. And if you look down in verse 27, you will find very simply and very clearly that when God, verse 26 rather, that when God begins to create man, he uses the plural, let us make man in our image. So the idea of a Trinity is developed not only within the name of God, but within all of his aspects throughout the Old and New Testament. A triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget running across this statement in J. Lewis Guthrie, who is a former pastor of this church and one of the founders of the Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock. Brother Guthrie wrote in his little book called The Christ in Creation that all we'll ever know of God is the Father. All we'll ever see of God is the Son. All we'll ever experience of God is the Holy Spirit. I like that. I've always liked that statement. Every time I think about trying to explain the Trinity, though, I think about Sister Jean Owen. Many of you know her. Great lady for the Lord, great pastor's wife. But Sister Jean was telling me one time she was teaching the children at Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church when Brother Owen pastored out there, and she had the perfect way to illustrate it. She was going to break an egg, and she was going to tell them it was shell and yellow and white. She broke the egg, and it was double yolked. Now, you say, and my point simply is, trying to illustrate the Trinity is not that simple. Trying to make sure we understand the concept of Trinity, of three in one, because the God that creates and this God who is a Trinity has given us all of his fullness. In fact, the Bible tells us in Colossians that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that it, and Paul tells us in Philippians that he did not think it robbery to make himself equal with God, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. God, Jesus did not diminish God in any way. One of the most difficult aspects that we have in any type of theology is simply understanding who God is. That God has decided in eternity past that if mankind failed, that he would send his Son to pay the penalty and the price and provide the grace that we need. But we don't see that in this first verse. All we see in this verse is that, is that God created. One of the other things that God did is prohibit anyone to make an idol or an image of him. Now, I'm going to say something, and if I upset you, I'm sorry, okay? I don't care how many plays, videos, or anything else like that that you see, or movies that you've seen where Jesus has been portrayed, you ain't got a clue what he looks like. He is God in the flesh, and I really hate to disappoint us here in the United States. He's not blue-eyed and blonde. Read his lineage. All right? He's the son of David and the son of Abraham. And I'll guarantee you he looks more like them than he does us. Now you say, why are you saying all that? I want us to realize that the world offers us 1,000 images of God. But God's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When Moses saw the hinder parts of God, it changed his countenance. Brother, we're not going to see God at any time except in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. God is a Trinity, and the attributes that he has of being eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing and ever-present in our life, he has made sure that we understand he is not limited to what we know as space and time. And in the Old Testament, God has another name besides Elohim. It is the name Yahweh. We know it often as Jehovah. That's the Greek version of the Hebrew term Yahweh. It comes from a verb that means I will become. It does not appear in the New Testament. You know why? Because Emmanuel's there. God is with us. Yahweh won't appear because it means I will become. He became flesh and walked among us. So you're not going to find Yahweh. You say, well, I wouldn't find Yahweh in there because it's Hebrew. No, but you won't find Jehovah either. And that's the whole idea and the concept behind it all. Now, please understand that the God we have and the God who created is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. However, when we meet him here in Genesis 1 and 1, we don't know all of those qualities about him. We find that as we go through the rest of the scripture. So the first thing that I want you to notice about this God who's here is that he created. Here it says simply, in the beginning, God in his infinite wisdom separated himself from eternity and began what we now know as time. And we're extremely conscious of time, aren't we? Why, if the preacher preaches an hour and a half, we get, and if he decides to go 2 hours, we just, what's going on? And you check and make sure it's not a button instead of a mint in his mouth. Now, it's just one of those interesting things. Time, what time do you have to be at work in the morning? What time do you have to get up? What time do you take your medicine? What time do we go to bed? What time does the news come on? I want to challenge you to do something in Genesis just for the fun of it. Find the number of times that minutes and seconds are mentioned in Genesis 1 and 2. You'll find days and seasons and weeks. Don't find a whole lot about minutes and seconds. You say, what's your point? My point is we've created and made time far greater than it ever was. Now, however, we have in the beginning. John's gospel starts the same way, doesn't it? John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. This creator separated time, and from God comes our creation as we know it. He, and he alone, is the origin of all things. Paul would later write in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts that in him we live and move and have our being. Referring to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And in other words, God sustains us. God created us. And the term that's used here for create is a Hebrew term that's only used of the creative power of Almighty God. You say, well, I can create a very good vanilla shake. You wouldn't use this word. You know why? Because you'll take somebody else's elements and put it together. This word implies that God is in and of himself the elements. It's out of him completely and totally. There are those who believe that creation is, quote, ex nihilo, which is a Latin term that's out of nothing. I disagree with that, and I think the Bible does, because it's out of God totally and completely, and I think we need to understand that. This term is used in the Bible, and it is used only of God. It also implies a complexity of creation because it comes from the person of God, who is of infinite power and has brought to us an origin that is greater and higher than humanity can conceive. And sometimes we don't look at it that way. I am always amazed, whether it's the spring, summer, fall, or winter, to look out into the world itself that's been created by God and see the wonders we can't explain. I don't know about you, but every December or January or February when it starts to snow, I open my big picture window in there in my office and I sit there like a 2-year-old watching it snow for the first time. I'm fascinated by it. You know, one of the most fascinating things about snow is go out about midnight after it snowed and listen to the quietness. It's amazing, isn't it? How about the delicacy of a rose? How about watching that grandchild or child when you put them in your hands the first time? Don't tell me that's an accident. Don't tell me that's just evolution. I don't believe that. And I don't think the Bible teaches it anyway. God is a creator. So what is God's creation? He spells it out here in these verses. The uplifted waters and the earth, the heavens and the earth. God speaks, and these very things come into being. How are we able to comprehend the creative power of God? I think with great difficulty. Now, may I also say something else here? We've never seen God's creation the way He created it. That's one of the things that I think we have to understand because of the fall of Adam and Eve and the plunging of humanity into sin. All we know is a sin-corrupted world. What God created here in verse 1, we've never beheld. I can't even begin to imagine what it was like. I can read in Scripture what happens. I can see God's hand in the 7 days that He takes to create, and on the 7th day He rested. But from the very smallest element in the world to the most powerful element in the world, let us not forget that it was God who created it. It was God who set it into motion. It was God who gave it its attributes. It was God and God alone who said of His creation that it was good. He didn't say that because He was wondering if it would pass muster. He said that because He created it, and He said, this is beneficial, this is profitable, this is good, because when God creates something, that's exactly what it is. He created this earth. He gave it order, not chaos. There's a lot of controversy about verse 2. Where the Bible says that the earth was without form and void, darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There are those who believe that verse 2 means that God's creation from that very moment was in upheaval and chaos. That's not what this verse says. It says it was without form and void. That doesn't mean chaos. That doesn't mean sinful. It just simply means it did not have the form that God wanted it to have. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, from the words that are translated without form and void and the way they're used in the rest of the Scripture, and also from the simple fact that I know that my God would not create anything that was sinful. So this world was not without form and void. And you say, well, but I've heard all my life that between verses 1 and 1-2, that is when Satan fell and Satan plunged mankind or plunged this world into chaos. Well, that's great. I'm not going to argue that, but that verse doesn't say that the world was in chaos. It says it was without form and void. It didn't have the shape. It didn't have the power and the form that God wanted it to have and the purpose and fulfillment yet. And we're going to see that in these next verses through verse 31 where He creates everything. Then the Bible says that when this was seen and there was darkness over the face of the deep, that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I've heard this referred to as brooding. Well, I know what brooding is. We had hens growing up. You put eggs under them and they brood. That's not what this means. God's not sitting on the earth waiting for it to hatch. That's not what's going on here. God is watching over this world, determined so that when the power of God begins to create, it will be created in the form and fulfillment and purpose and shape that God wants it to be in. Brethren, there are no mistakes when God creates. And he's hovering over these waters, and by the way, he creates the heavens and the earth. You say, well, how do you explain light years, and how do you explain the stars and all that? As we go through this, we'll get into all of that. But I will tell you simply this, the God who created is the God who will also redeem. The God who created understood what humanity would do, and he provided for that. The God who created and the God who redeemed will be the same God who sends his Son to come for us. When that happens, we've got to be ready. He said, when's it going to happen? When God sends him. It's in Acts 1 and in Matthew, okay? You say, well, preacher, you're asking me to believe a lot by faith. Yes, I am. Because you see, that's the difference. From the beginning, God asked us to believe him. God says that we are to trust him. To walk by faith, to live by faith. And that includes the first 11 chapters of Genesis. You say, well, preacher, I've got enough background and education. I can argue all these points. All right, I'm for you. I'll sit down and talk to you about it. But the first thing we're going to determine is if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, no, wait a minute. That's changing the rules. No. Because these things are spiritually discerned. These things are understood by the Spirit of God. You're not going to come to them naturally. Why? Because creation is a broken thing today. Humanity has fallen from God's created purpose. We've sinned against God. We're born that way, and we practice that sin. So the only way we're going to understand this book is to be his child. And that's where we start. And when we start by faith, then we have to ask ourselves, do I believe God or do I believe humanity? I'm going to start with God. I think that's where we all need to start. To understand that God is our creator and that God is the one who provides all of our needs. It is important for us as we look at these verses and see, and I want to challenge you to do this week. Go through these verses, in chapter 1, and highlight God said, and God called, and that he saw, and God made, and you'll be surprised at how many times those things appear. You say, why does that matter? Because it's God who did it. Moses is leaving no stone unturned to make sure that we understand creation. You said, but there are creation stories in other cultures. Yes, there are, but none of them like this one. None of them that says God did it. The Babylonians, they talk about all the Gilgamesh and all that and being hatched out of an egg. No. God created from within his own being and power. And because of that, we're here. My hope and prayer tonight is that you know the God of creation, that you understand the importance of knowing the God of creation, because the God of creation is coming back for you.